Okay, so we're reading today from Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I will tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
G'day everyone. Let's pray, shall we, before we look at that passage. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you so much that we have you as our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for this reminder from Jesus that we don't need to worry. And we pray that you will really help us cement this truth in our minds this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've started a new series. It's called Why Worry Now? It's basically on worry, stress, anxiety, depression, all that sort of thing. It's a 3-week series. We started last week. And last week, the big idea was that the way we feel follows how we think. The way we feel is a result of how we think. And we saw some really good news, and that was that God is in the business of transforming how we think, which therefore transforms how we feel. So that's what we looked at last week. Next week, jumping ahead, so next week we're going to look at how God transforms our thinking about ourselves, our very selves, and how that therefore changes how we feel. But this week we're going to focus on how God transforms our thinking about our lives, our everyday lives here on earth. What we're going to eat, how we're going to provide food for ourselves, where we're going to live, what we're going to wear, all those sorts of things, our health. And we certainly need help with worrying about this stuff, don't we? I know I do. In fact, I looked up some statistics, again, according to one Australian psychologist website. These are the top 4 worries that Australians have. Money and financial security. No surprises there. Secondly, job security. Thirdly, relationships. Finding a partner, keeping a partner, and maintaining good relationships with others. And fourthly, health. And your own mortality. That's what. These are the things, the everyday things that people worry about in Australia, apparently. Now, maybe you could have guessed that these are the things we worry about. And notice that they're all worries that are very grounded in everyday life. And they're all worries about, mostly worries about what might happen. What might happen, I might lose my job, I might not have enough for this, or not. You know, so it's all worries about the future. Now, what I find really interesting is that, despite all our, you know, great technological advancement as a species, this is just the same stuff. Same stuff people have been worrying about for thousands of years. It's the same old stuff. And although Jesus doesn't really address the relationship stresses that we have in this passage, certainly the rest of the Bible does, and Jesus does elsewhere, I think this passage really does address the other 3 things. So have a look again at verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life. Now, the word worry means to be apprehensive, to be anxious, to be unduly concerned. That's what he's getting at. So he's saying, don't worry about life, what you will eat and drink, about your body, what you will wear. Life, food, drink, bodies, clothes. These are all the sorts of things we worry about, and how we're going to be able to provide those things for ourselves. Am I going to have enough money in the future to be able to provide these things for myself or my family? Will I'm going to be able to keep my job to be able to keep earning money to provide these things? Will I be able to maintain my health to live a long and happy life? They're all worries that are grounded in life, and they kind of worry about tomorrow, what the future will bring. In fact, you might have noticed verse 34. It's worrying about tomorrow. It's a future, something that might happen in the future. And if you're anything like me, you don't have to think very hard to think of times when you have actually worried about some of this stuff. I sort of did a quick recap of the last 20 years of my life, and I could think of, I think I've got five here. Going back to when I was 20, it's sort of a bit embarrassing, I worried about whether I'd find a wife. Now that might seem strange because I was only 20, but bear in mind, my dad had married at 19, my mum had married at 17, my older sister had married at 17, so by the time I got to 20, I thought I'd missed the boat. I thought I'm never going to find a wife. And so I worried about that. Not long after I was married, and maybe there's some connection here, I started worrying about money. how was I going to provide and all this sort of stuff. A couple of years later, after I graduated from uni, I started worrying, am I going to be able to get a job? Am I even going to be able to get a job? Jump forward 5 or 6 years when I was I began teaching, but I was on a year-by-year contract for 3 years, and at the sort of all throughout each of those 3 years, I was wondering, are they going to renew my contract at the end of this year? That became a worry for me. And then the last one I thought of is maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I had a bit of an asbestos exposure, and I started worrying a little bit, am I going to develop asbestosis? Now that might seem really strange to you if you haven't been exposed to asbestos, but it was something that I didn't get really worried and really anxious about it, but occasionally I would worry about that. Now I mention that one because I actually do know two people who have got really quite concerned about that, and it's created a lot of anxiety for them. So they're the sorts of things I've worried about. I'm sure there's similar things if you think back on your life that you have worried about or maybe are still worrying about. And if there are, or if there have been things that like that that you worry about to different degrees, maybe you're worrying about it to the point where you are feeling a lot of anxiety about it, I'm going to put it right out there, right up front, it's wrong to think like that. Now let me qualify that. There's two reasons. Firstly, it's wrong, and I think we all know it's wrong, because when we're worrying about something to the point where it really stresses us out and really inhibits our ability to do anything about it and really changes our character and we start reacting to people all sorts of ways, I think we know this is not good. It's not right for me to be feeling like this. That's the first reason. The second reason why it's wrong to think like that is because Jesus commands us not to. Did you notice that? He actually commands us not to worry about these things. So when I was actually teaching, someone pointed this out to me. Do you realise it's wrong to worry? Jesus commands us not to worry. It's there in verse 25. Do not worry. Now, when that was pointed out to me, I was like, wow, I'd never really realised that before. But Jesus says, do not worry. Now, as we saw last week, feeling a certain way is a result of how we're thinking, but God's in the business of transforming how we think. He wants us to think the right way. And now, if that's true, what we would expect Jesus to do now, after we said, look, don't worry about all that stuff, we would expect him to transform our thinking, to give us good reasons not to worry, wouldn't we? If that's what God wants to do, he doesn't just plonk peace in our hearts. He gives us reasons to have peace, right? So we would expect Jesus now to give us very good reasons not to worry. And in fact, that's exactly what he does in this passage. He gives us two really good reasons not to worry. And so that's what we're going to look at today. And the first reason is because we ought not be living for the things of this earth. We ought to be heavenly minded. We ought to be focused on God's kingdom stuff, not absorbed in worldly stuff. And that's my first point. We ought to be living for the kingdom of heaven, for God, for eternity, for righteousness. Now, where do I get that from? Have a look at verse 25. I get it from the first word. Come on, grab your Bibles out. This is God's word. Let's read it. Let's read together. I don't have a Bible, but I've got the Bible written in my notes. So grab a Bible from page, what is it? 677 or something? Yeah. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. I was actually thinking this morning, it's funny, isn't it? Who brings their Bible to church these days? A few people. Yeah, good. It used to be, I think, generation before mine. Is this right? That everyone would bring their Bible to church? Yeah.
Depending on the church.
Depending on the church, yeah, sure. Yeah. Matthew 6, verse 25. Look at the first word. It says, therefore. Now, whenever we see the word therefore, I've said this before, we need to ask ourselves, what is therefore, therefore? What is the word therefore, therefore? Well, it's there because it shows us that there's a link between what is about to be said and what has just been said. And so when we see the word therefore, if we can't remember what's just been said, we should go back and say, well, what's just been said? Because Jesus is now saying, don't worry, or, therefore don't worry. Why for? Well, let's go back. Go back with me to verse 19, because he says there, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin don't destroy, and where thieves don't break in and steal, for where your treasure is, your heart is also. So you've got the kingdom of earth, earthly stuff, and you've got the kingdom of heaven, the heavenly stuff. You've got money, you've got God. And Jesus is saying, don't store up for yourself stuff here, store it up for heaven. Have your heart and mind fixed on heaven. Have a God-centred worldview, not an earth-centred, godless worldview. And Jesus is saying, we ought to have a mindset that is focused on God, that is seeking God, that is taking God into account, that's adding God to the picture. He says, either our minds are on God, or they're on earth, or they're on money. And the two compete. You can't love both. You'll either love one and hate the other. So even though we are surrounded by earthly stuff and by people who are totally consumed by earthly stuff, all the pagans, it says, are running after these things, we must not. As Christians, Jesus is saying, we must not be like that. Our minds must be focused on God, not in the world. You can't serve both. Which is why, if we jump forward to verse 33, Jesus then says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Your top priority should be God's kingdom and his righteousness. Seek after that. Pursue that. If you're doing that, you're not going to be so worried about things of the earth. I love this verse. I came across this verse when I had the Good News version playing in cassette tape in my car. And I heard this verse, and it just really struck me. Slightly different words, because it was the Good News version. But it's 1 Corinthians 7:31. It says this. I don't know if you've noticed this verse before. It says, those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. Has anyone come across that one before? Those who use the things of this world, well, that's us, right? We all do, as if not engrossed in them. You know, just got your big toe in them, not consumed by them. Now, let me read it to you in context from verse 29. 1 Corinthians 7, 29. What I mean, brothers, so this is Paul writing to the church, what I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as though they don't, those who mourn as if they didn't, those who are happy as if they weren't, those who buy something as if it wasn't theirs to keep. That's interesting. Those who use the things of the world as if not engrossed in them. Why? For this present world, sorry, for the world in its present form is passing away. This stuff is just going. And then he says, I would like you to be free from concern. Same word Jesus uses. Free from worry. Do you see? Paul's saying, don't be engrossed in the worldly stuff. Be fixed on heavenly stuff. Then you'll be free from worry. This is what Jesus is saying as well. Be focused. Seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Worldly stuff, earthly stuff, it'll just fade away into the background. I was trying to think of an illustration for this. The only one I could come up with was when I met my wife, Georgia. Or should I say when she met me. Because up until that point, she was studying nursing at uni, and she was putting a lot of effort into her studies. She was getting really good grades. She was going really well. But then she met me. And her world was opened up to a better reality. That's supposed to be a joke. You can laugh at that one. She kept studying at uni, but suddenly she wasn't engrossed in her studies. And that year she met me, she went from like, I don't know, probably 95%, and she finished on exactly 50%. And I thought, well, that's testament to where her heart really was. She obviously was really in love with me. I think that's how we ought to think about this world and heaven. When we become Christians, we become heavenly minded, not earthly minded. We're not engrossed in the worldly things anymore. It's as if we've just got our big toe in them. That's how it should be. And if we think like that more and more, guess how we're going to feel? We're not going to worry about earthly stuff so much. We're not going to be, oh, that's mine, and I need that, and I need more, and all this. We're just not going to worry because, well, that's where we're heading. Do you see? So Jesus changes our thinking, which changes the way we feel about this stuff. That's the first reason. The second thing, really good reason Jesus gives us not to worry, is because we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. That's the second. We've got a loving Heavenly Father who knows what we need and will give us what we need. That's the big idea of this passage that Mill read out. For the rest of this world, for everyone else in this world, they don't have God in the picture. They don't have God as their loving Heavenly Father, and so they feel like it's all up to them. They have to be self-reliant. They have to worry about this stuff. As Christians, we've got God, a loving Heavenly Father. We don't need to worry about this stuff because we've got God. Have a look again at verse 26. This is Jesus' argument, his logical rationale for not worrying. Verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than them? Aren't you more valuable than they are? If he feeds the birds, of course he's going to feed you. Verse 28, why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labour and spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, won't he much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Now, O you of little faith, I think this is like Jesus saying, don't you trust? Have you got such little trust in God that you're worrying about all these things when God wants to provide them for you? Verse 32, for the pagans, the godless, those who don't have God, well, yeah, they run after all these things, But look, your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. Now, I mentioned some of the things that I worried about when I was younger over the last 20 years. I think it's really helpful sometimes to think back over your life and think of the way that God has provided for you. Because so often we're just thinking about the future. Sometimes it's good to look back and say, yeah, actually God has always provided me with a home. God's always provided me with food. God's provided me with this, with that, the other thing. And that gives us confidence for the future. Now, I realise that's a little bit hard if you've just become a Christian, but take it from those who have been a Christian for a while. When you look back, God's incredibly faithful as a father. And so I look back and I thought about some of these things that I used to worry about. Let me just finish the story for someone. I said I used to worry about finding a wife. And look, for a year and a half there, I was looking pretty hard. and I couldn't find the right one. And it got to the point where I thought, stuff is. And I thought, I'm just going to just leave it in God's hands. And I'm not going to enter into a relationship that isn't God-honouring. And about 6 months went by, and then a wife literally dropped into my lap. not literally. It was like she dropped into my lap. This is how... It was a Friday night. I was out at a youth Bible study. I came home about 9:30 p.m. and waiting in my lounge room was Georgia. That Heidi was doing uni with her and brought her down from Launceston to my lounge room to meet me. And we fell in love and the rest is history. It was like God had just done everything. I didn't have to do anything. It was quite amazing to look back on God's provision there. I mentioned about worrying about work. This is an interesting story. I graduated with a Bachelor of Engineering. I thought, I'm going to get a job easy. And so I finished November or something. Thought, I'll take a couple of months off over summer. And then I started looking for work in earnest in about January. And I sort of didn't get any. That's a bit strange. Bit of an anomaly there. And I kept looking and I was applying everywhere, left, right and centre. 3 months. And I still didn't have a job. I thought, what's going on? And so eventually we got to the point, this is crazy. And so George and I, it took us 3 months. We sat down in the dining room and we said, maybe we should pray about this. And I kid you not, we prayed about the job situation, and no sooner had we said amen, and the phone rings, and George answered, yeah, Dan's here, I'll put him on. I say hello, and the very first words I hear are, want a job? Honestly, I'm not making this up. It's unbelievable. God's provision. One more quick story. Have we got time for one more quick story? Some of you know this story. When we first started, when we were starting this church, before we launched public meetings on Sundays, a week before, I think it was the 8th of March 2015, we had an open day here. We had a jumping castle out there and that sort of stuff. I left home in Margate. George and I had been thinking, maybe we should move to Snug at some point if the church keeps going after 6 months. And so this is sort of what we're thinking. I drove down earlier than Georgia and I got here and I'm walking through here and an old friend who was a year above me at school, Chris Fidout, was driving past on Frost Street. And he sort of drove past and then reversed up and came in and started chatting. So I'm talking to him. Meanwhile, Georgia is driving from Margate. She's coming down the hill into Snug. And she just has this random thought. You should buy the Vidal's house. Now, at that point, she was like, that's really weird. The Vidal's house wasn't for sale. They're perfectly happy settled in Snug. Anyway, so that was a random thought. She gets to church and, Dan's talking to Chris Vidal in the front yard of the church building. That's strange. Georgia sidles on up, joins the conversation, and Chris drops the bomb. Oh, yeah, so we've just bought a block in Margate, and we're going to build a house there and move there. Anyway, about 12 months later, Georgia catches up with his wife. Oh, yeah, we'd be happy to sell to you guys. They got a valuation, sold to us, no agent's fees. It was just like God just opened all the doors We didn't worry, we didn't have to worry about it at all. It was really phenomenal. The point is, look back on your life, look at God's provision, the way He provides, and it gives you much more confidence for the future. The point is, we have a loving Heavenly Father who knows what we need, and He delights to give to His children, right? The title slide is how we should think of ourselves. Children, little babies, helpless, in our Father's powerful, loving, caring arms. In fact, I shared last week that I've struggled with panic attacks, and one of the things that I found most helpful for managing my own anxiety is regular relaxation and meditation. Now, I haven't been as consistent as I should have with this, but my goal is at least once or twice a week to take 20 minutes. I set my time for 20 minutes. I lie down on the floor of my office, pillow under my head, pillow under my feet, and I just concentrate on my breathing, and I try to clear my mind of all worries. And one of the things I meditate on is picturing myself as a child held in God's hands. You know that song, He's got the whole world in His hands? He's got you and me, brother, in His hands? That's how I picture myself. I just meditate on that image and my worries melt away. Who am I? I'm just a baby. Who is God? He's all powerful. And I think that's how we ought to see ourselves. This is how Jesus is saying, you've got a loving Heavenly Father. You don't need to worry about all this stuff. One last thing I want you to notice. I only noticed this earlier in the week. Have a look again at verse 32. Because I think this is really interesting. And it actually ties these two points together. Verse 32. Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Right? God knows that you need all this stuff. But He doesn't then say, and He will just give it all to you. There's something else in between. Did you notice that? He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given you as well. And I think that's really interesting. And I don't want to be too mechanistic about it, and you know, if you do that, God will do this. But Jesus is saying, get your priorities right. Seek God first. Seek His kingdom first. Put God in His rightful place as your Father. And yeah, He will provide all the things that you need. So, what is it you're worrying about? Is it money? Is it your job? Your work? Is it clothes? Or your health? Or maybe even death? Whatever it is you're worrying about, or whatever it is you find yourself worrying about, I've got a command for you from Jesus. Don't worry. Jesus says, don't worry about that. Rather, fix your mind on things above. Fix your mind on the heavenly things. Seek first and foremost God and His kingdom and His righteousness, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Now, I wasn't going to include this. I've got to tell you just a real quick story about that very, they're the words of a hymn, right? The words of a song. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. I wrote that into this talk on Monday last week at about 5:25. At 5:29, my phone went ding. And for those of you who have Facebook, you know a ding means a messenger message. And Mark Johns, who some of you know, had sent me this totally random message. Just had a little play button, and I hit play, and it was him with his guitar. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And I thought, wow. That's just a God moment, as Jesse would say. It's totally amazing. I thought that was probably the right thing to put in this talk. You know, fix your mind on things above and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. No Know that, so get that perspective and know that you have a Heavenly Father who knows what you need and will provide everything you need. When we think like this, it'll change how we feel. Instead of feeling worry, we're going to feel peace, security, thankfulness, joy, love, security. That's how God wants us to feel, and that's how He wants us to think. So let me say a prayer and then we'll have a quick questions and comments time. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this incredibly encouraging reminder from the Lord Jesus. Thank you that He just really clearly tells us not to worry about this stuff, but more than that, He transforms our thinking and reminds us that we need not worry because our minds are to be fixed on heavenly things, on your eternal kingdom. This world is transitory. These are light and momentary troubles that will pass away, and we are living forever, for eternity with you. And also, Lord, that we have you as our loving Heavenly Father who know what we need. And we just want to thank you for your provision for all of us in the past, and we want to declare our trust in you for the future. Please help us to believe these truths. Help us to know them in the depth of our minds and hearts. Help us to encourage one another with these truths. Help us to preach these truths to ourselves and not listen to that voice that says it's all bad and you need to worry about these things. Help us to listen to the truth of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.